Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Before we jump into the show, I want to give a shout out to Denver Rubber Company, a local business that has been tried and true since 1972. You guys know the drill. If you have any needs for snow plows, they are your go-to place. The snow has been here. There's more coming. The Broncos probably could have used a snow plow out there for their offense today to clear some space. But it was the Chiefs who plowed right through the Broncos. But if you have any snow plow needs, any needs for custom die-cut gaskets, anything that involves rubber, hit up Denver Rubber Company at 1-800-259-0010 or visit them at drcfirst.com/dnvr and tell them who sent you.
Broncos country is sitting in the south stands, drinking the Coors from Mile High, the best part of the week. Hugging a perfect stranger as they become a friend, having a good time when the orange and blue W-I-N. Tuning in every day with the good folks down at
DNVR. Welcome in to the DNVR Broncos podcast presented by Strava Craft Coffee. And before we jump into the show, we got to remind you, Strava Craft Coffee, code DNVR20. Get that 20% off. The coffee is rich and tasty. It's CBD infused. It'll help you with whatever is ailing you, and it's pretty good stuff. All right, Zach, I'm going to start here. I'm just going to go right into this. I'm not going to hesitate. If you are sitting here after this game, changing your take on Drew Locke, deciding that you saw something that tells you he's not the future, bashing him for the throw in the red zone, down 20. I got nothing for you. I can't help you because you are ignoring what the fact of the matter is. The fact of the matter is Drew Locke is a rookie quarterback. The fact of the matter is there's what, half a foot of snow on the field, or there half a foot of snow fell during the game.
Slush.
The fact of the matter is the Broncos offense is not designed to win a game like this in any way, shape, or form. And they're certainly not in a position to come back from 20 points down in the second half against the Chiefs. So was it ugly? Yeah, it was. Was it great from Drew Locke? No, it was not. But to me, this is a wipe your hands clean. You say it was bound to happen. It happened against on the road against the Chiefs in the snow. And you say throw it away unless for some reason some of the stuff you saw today comes up. But I don't. What did you see?
The fact of the matter is, Ryan, Drew Locke had zero help around him in this game. He had no running game whatsoever to speak of. His receivers certainly weren't helping him. And Ryan, the offensive line was awful today for Drew. It seemed like every single time he dropped back, he was going to the ground. Now, he did a good job. He did a good job of only going down in a sack twice, but he was getting pummeled every single play. He dropped back 40 times. Rich Gangarella didn't do him much help in terms of play calling. His teammates didn't do him much help. So did Drew have a great game? Of course not. Of course he didn't have a great game. But Ryan, I think he had a fine game. I'm not even willing to say that he had like a terrible, awful game or anything like that. I don't feel bad about Drew Lock. Look, this was going to happen at some point. Likely this year, it was going to happen in this five-game stretch. And it happened against the best defense that he's going to go up against in the worst conditions, in a hostile environment, in against a very, very, very good team. So this, we all probably should have saw this coming.
Here's the thing, Zach, and this is one of the things that's powering this narrative that, you know, they should have done better today. And yeah, they should have as a team. But you know who hasn't played well against the Chiefs defense recently? Anyone.
Anyone.
Tom Brady, not a great game. They had a flea flicker that went big. Aside from that, he did nothing impressive. 19 of 36, 169, one touchdown, one interceptions. Rivers threw four picks against this team 2 weeks ago. Derek Carr, 220 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. I mean, no one is doing this. This is not the same defense that was getting gashed last year, and not the same defense that was even playing in the first 6 to 8 weeks of this season. So this isn't a bad defense. The Broncos were put in a position where they couldn't run the ball. You know, they averaged 3.5 yards per carry. Phil Lindsay averaged 4.6 yards per carry today. But they were in no position to continue running the ball because they were fighting an uphill battle all day. So, relax. Everyone, relax. Drew Lock gets to come home for two straight games here to finish the season. I doubt the conditions will be anything like what we just saw. And then we can get back to evaluating Drew Lock. But if you listen to Vic Fangio and you listen to Von Miller, you have no worries right now.
Or Ryan, if the conditions are this bad, I'd be okay because I want to see how Drew Lock bounces back. Ryan, get this. He did not. Where did Drew Lock go to college? Missouri. How great's the weather there? Are people going on vacations there in the winter?
No.
In Missouri has some pretty bad weather. Drew said this was the first time he's ever played in snow.
That's crazy.
Like, what? That's nuts. He said this was by far the worst weather conditions he's had. So add that on top of everything. And did he look like he was lost out there playing in snow for the first time, had no idea how to control himself or handle himself? I didn't think so. I thought he was fine.
I don't think he looked comfortable. But a lot of that, I mean, that's a mix of everything. He was uncomfortable because Kansas City knew he had to throw the ball all day. He was uncomfortable because his offensive line couldn't protect him. He was uncomfortable because it was snowing and freezing and the ball was wet.
He said one of the things that was a little different was coming out of breaks on the boots. You know, he wanted to make sure he wasn't going to fall down. Well, it was extra worse when there's a guy in your face every time you come out of those.
And how many drops? Six?
Yeah.
I think there's six drops out there. So I know that everything in 2019 is evaluated on a second-by-second basis, and it's one of the problems with just the way things are in this day and age because everyone's talking 24/7, so everything can be evaluated on a second-by-second basis. But take a step back, realize that the Broncos as a whole played like trash today. But my biggest takeaway is the offense. Remember, Zach, I wrote it, I don't even remember, way back at the beginning of this season, I said the Broncos' biggest problem is this offense. And while you saw last week that this offense can be an absolute bull, and it can be really, really hard to stop when it's rolling, and I completely respect that part of this offense. But look at the differences of what you saw between the two offenses today. Remember, the Chiefs are a pass-first offense, and in a snowy game, you might think, wow, that's a big disadvantage for them. But Patrick Mahomes was just throwing to wide open guys. And that is not to take away from him because he made some great throws, like off his back foot to the sideline on 3rd and 9. He made some really great throws. The truth is, Zach, it was easy for them out there because they're just going into wide open spots in the zone. Patrick Mahomes makes easy throws, and they just chug their way down the field. Meanwhile, Drew Lock's being asked to throw into tight windows on guys who are covered and make similar plays. And it's the biggest difference in this game was that the Chiefs' offense created easy plays for Patrick Mahomes, and there wasn't a single easy play out there for the Broncos' offense.
So it's on Rich Scangarello.
No. It's on John Elway for being so married to this offense. Look, do I think they need to change at this point? No, because you spent all this time getting Drew Lock ready for this offense, and it's really going to be up to Rich Scangarello to be multiple in the way that he does things and not be so tied to this. But the problem is from the start, the idea that when John Elway hired Vic Fangio, they needed to go get a guy who was running this offense and build everything around that. And it's just, it is not the most conducive offense to what this team is trying to do. And especially a team that is trying to punch up. It's not the right thing. Look at like Washington State. I know that there's big differences between the NFL and college. But Washington State was trash for years. But they went and got an offense that allows them to have worse players and still make plays. They don't have the quality of players of most of the teams in the Pac-12, but the offense schemes guys open. They get a quarterback who's accurate, and they're off to the races. When you are trying to run a smash-mouth, pro-style offense, and you don't have a talent gap, you're going to be fighting an uphill battle all the time.
All the time, and that's where the Broncos are now, Ryan. And here's the harsh reality. It's the first time in 40 years the Broncos have had back-to-back-to-back losing seasons. The Broncos officially eliminated for the playoffs. That means they will not have made the playoffs since Peyton Manning was here. What type of offense did Peyton run?
Spread them out.
This is where the Broncos are, and we heard that from Von Miller after the game, and we're going to get in-depth with what Von said, but Ryan, you know, it seems like that there was so much hope in Broncos country, and I'm certainly not putting out any of that hope when it comes to Drew Lock, but this is still the reality of where the Broncos are now. They just put up 3 points. How much did they get outscored by the Chiefs this year? Like, pretty much 60-9?
53-9.
53-9 against the Chiefs, against the team that Cortland Sutton earlier this week said, if we come and beat that, no. When we beat the Chiefs this week, we're going to turn the division around. No, Cortland. That didn't happen. It's not even, the Chiefs own you. And that's where the Broncos are right now. There's some hope, but right now, they are still completely owned by the Chiefs in every way.
And why is that?
They're nowhere close to them. I mean, so many reasons.
To me, it's pretty simple. To me, it's that the Chiefs have a ton of weapons and an offense that cannot be stopped by good defense. Now,
by any defense.
Look, they lost in the playoffs last year. Was it because the Patriots stopped them?
Nope. It's because Tom Brady just went right down their throat.
Patrick Mahomes was on pace for like 600 yards and 6 touchdowns in the first half of that game last year. The only way you have a chance against these guys is if you can get into a shootout. And the Ravens will have a great chance to do it because they have a good enough defense and they know how to possess the ball and they can beat them by keeping them off the field. But they look out there and there's just no way. Maybe the no-fly zone, which had 5 very good secondary members, might have had a chance. But when Patrick Mahomes can stand up at the line and say, okay, oh, Kelsey on Yadam, okay, easy. And just do that all day. Oh, Kelsey is on Todd Davis. Oh, Tyreek Hill is on whatever. It's going to be easy forever until you have an offense that can go toe-to-toe. Then you just simply cannot beat these guys relying on your defense.
Well, let me ask you, how close are the Broncos? Because Cortland Sutton, that's a weapon on offense. Noah Fant, that's a weapon on offense. Philip Lindsay, that's a weapon on offense. Now, I stopped there, but Ryan, those are 3 weapons that if you talk to different people, you can get an idea that Those are all three explosive weapons. So how many are they away? Or are they the wrong weapons?
It's not the weapons. It's the scheme. This scheme is not designed to score 30 points. We saw it at its absolute best last week, and it scored 31, because don't forget there was a defensive touchdown in there.
Yep.
That was with everything clicking on all cylinders. And if the Chiefs were in that stadium that day, you still might have lost the game. So, again, it's too late. I'm not advocating for them to go hire some spread offense coordinator. It's too late because you've put Drew Lock through all of this, and you would be doing him a disservice to his development. But if this is, I mean, this is what I was talking about maybe at this exact point last year when I was pointing to Kyler Murray. And I was saying, like, you got to make every move you make based on the fact that you know that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and all those guys are over there. You got to build this whole thing around electricity. And they haven't done that. And so do I think this team can win 10 games next year? I actually really do. But when the target is the Chiefs, your path to trying to get with them is all wrong. You got it all wrong.
Well, I hate what you're saying then, Ryan, because you're saying the Broncos, not just right now, have it all wrong. They have it all wrong in the future, and this is what we're going to be seeing because you mentioned it. They're stuck with this. John Elway, come on, he's not going to change. And is he going to be here? Absolutely he's going to be here because he has the young quarterback. He has two good drafts in a row. He's not getting fired no matter what you think. So what you're telling me, Ryan, is the Broncos are in a bad position for a long time.
Here's the thing, and I've said this before. This offense can be great. It really can, but it needs a lot. It needs a Hall of Fame running back, a Hall of Fame quarterback, a Hall of Fame tight end, and fringe Hall of Famers at wide receiver and on the offensive line. I mean, that is what John Elway is hearkening back to. Remember, John Elway's beginning of his career, or even the middle years, once Mike Shanahan came in, were not all just easy offense. This offense did not hum until it was John Elway, Terrell Davis, Shannon Sharp, Rod Smith, Ed McCaffrey, Tom Nalen, Mark Schlereth. I mean, we are talking about a group that was insanely talented. So if you can go out there and if Philip Lindsay starts going on a Hall of Fame career arc, and if Juwan James comes and starts playing at an incredible level, and if Noah Fant starts playing at a Hall of Fame career arc, and if Cortland Sutton and insert some other wide receiver you get start playing at Ring of Fame levels, and Cortland's probably already there, then we can talk. Then we can say, okay, you can smash mouth teams and have a great defense on the other side and win. But even then, these Chiefs are always going to give you trouble because you are not designed to get into shootouts. They are designed to play you in a shootout. And they're going to pin their ears back, and Spagnuolo is going to tee off with blitz after blitz when you are forced to throw the ball. And this offense will never work in those scenarios.
So should the Broncos just start building their plan to be a good team in 2035 when Patrick Mahomes is done, when Andy Reid retires?
I think they're going to have to – I don't know how they're going to hold on to Hill – Mahomes, Kelce, all these guys forever. And so maybe they take a step back once they break that up. But I mean, that's what all those Hall of Famers that I just talked about for the Broncos back in the late 90s, that's what they're operating at right now. Tyreek Hill, Hall of Fame level receiver. Patrick Mahomes, Hall of Fame level quarterback. Kelce, Hall of Fame level tight end. And the offensive linemen, they have some good ones. But also, this another thing. That scheme does not demand a lot of them, because most of it today was Patrick Mahomes catching the ball, waiting 1.5 seconds for Kelce to get to the top of his route, 8 yards down the field, and just hitting him in the chest. That's not hard for the offensive line. So, again, I understand the thought process here because, yes, when it gets down to smash mouth, I mean, look at the Super Bowl last year. It was smash mouth football. And the Patriots just did it better than the Rams, and they came out and won. But this division, which is won in the regular season, and really early in the regular season where the Chiefs are always going to be humming, you are a long, long ways away. You better hope that you can steal a wild card spot and be hot at the right time and get some cold weather games and all that stuff. But even that, like, look at today. Like, this is what you would, like, before today, you would have said, like, yeah, but that Chiefs offense is not designed to go in cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
What did Mahomes do? Mahomes went 27 of 34, 340 yards, two touchdowns, one interception.
And they took their foot off the gas.
100%. He could have easily thrown for 400 yards.
Yep.
So even that is not a true. I thought it looked easy for them today. I thought they were that was designed for cold weather, especially because the offense knows where they're going and the defense doesn't. So they're just cutting into wide open spaces all day.
Yep. And it was easy for the Chiefs to beat the Broncos for a second straight time this year, for a ninth straight time in this division. And Ryan, it was a bad reality check, I should say, for the Broncos of where they are right now. Because, yes, they very well may make the playoffs. They may be a 10-win team next year, the Broncos, of course. How can you look at what's happened and what the positive moves the Broncos could make this offseason and say that they'll be competing next year with the Chiefs?
So here is the, I guess, the positive look at things. They keep Chris Harris Jr. or replace him with another very good corner. And I know Chris got beat once again today. They get Bryce Callahan back. He plays at an extremely high level. They are able to find a coverage linebacker in the draft or in free agency. And they get Bradley Chubb, and the defense is a top three defense in the league. And they can just slow them down enough. And the offense, they get another weapon. Like, a lot of things have to go right. So
don't forget that first game was against Matt Moore.
Matt Moore. Yes, Matt Moore.
And they crushed him.
And it's kind of funny. I don't know if Andy Reid will ever learn from this. But have you noticed what happened in both of the games against the Broncos?
What?
For one reason or another, they were forced to simplify their offense. And they mowed the Broncos down. If you watch the games where the Chiefs struggle, it's because like half of their plays are like 30-yard ins. And Mahomes doesn't have quite enough time, and he's forced to throw off his back foot, and it doesn't quite get there. And like then they're, whatever, third and long. When they just do this, which is just go underneath everything and just take what the defense is giving them, they just mow down the field. So I don't know if Andy Reid will take his own take a lesson from playing the Broncos and try and incorporate that into the playoffs, but I would highly recommend it because – the offense that they ran with Matt Moore is just what they did with what they used to do with Alex Smith. And it was just easy. And they took everything underneath and they just, you know, marched down the field. And then Mahomes has the arm to make the plays in the red zone that maybe sometimes Alex Smith didn't have the ability to do. So he should learn from this because when they lose, it's when they overthink it. They try to get too crazy on offense.
It's like the Chiefs were playing in 70-degree weather and the Broncos were playing in a snowstorm in 20 degrees like they were today. That's what the game looked like. On every side of the ball, you got Colby Wadman dropping his punts. And, yeah, I guess the Chiefs did have one special teams miscue, but that was it.
Yeah, after they already, you know, marched down the field and scored a touchdown, they didn't get the extra point. They had already scored enough points to win the game.
Yep.
So there are a lot of issues, a lot of things that the Broncos need to be better at, a lot of improvements that they need to make before they can truly compete with the Chiefs. That doesn't mean they can't make it to the playoffs, and we know anything can happen when you make it to the playoffs. But they got a long ways to go. But one thing that I still believe they have is the quarterback. And they're just going to have to find a way to build around him and play to his strengths. So don't get down on Drew Lock. All right, more to talk about here before we go ahead. As you may or may not know, taking care of your teeth is pretty important. And our friends at Green Mountain Dental Group are giving away a free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. That's right, you simply have to take care of your teeth for Green Mountain Dental Group to hand over a free Sonicare toothbrush. Check them out today online or call 303-988-0711 to schedule your appointment today.
And with those pearly whites, why don't you go and check out The Green Solution, which has 17 Colorado locations and an express checkout to get you in and out as fast as possible. So get on your phone right now, go to their website, mygreensolution.com. Order your flower, concentrates, edibles, and topicals online, and head to the closest Green Solution for pickup. And make sure you use that magical code DNVR20 for 20% off your entire purchase at The Green Solution.
All right, Zach, well, beyond Drew Locke, and we talked about what Von Miller said about Drew Locke after the game, which was, quote, Drew is definitely the future. Got to be honest, that was about the only positive thing Von said after this one. First of all, just tell us a little bit about what you heard from him, and what was your reaction? Because I kind of thought this would be one of those games where they came out of the locker room like, F it, whatever.
We kind of knew, not they knew this was coming, but, you know, they're a good team. Von Miller could have easily got up and said, yep, we got our butts kicked, but look, they're a fantastic team. It's a bummer. We need to get over this. Instead, he wasn't upset. He wasn't mad at how the game went down. And he wasn't looking at this game, Ryan. He was looking at a big picture, and he was sad. He was distraught. And he was lost. This was like, I thought it was the last game of the season. And the Broncos had just come off a 5-game losing streak. And they knew that their head coach was going to be fired. That's what this felt like. This didn't feel like a team that's 2-1 under their new quarterback and just lost, albeit a very bad game, to the division-winning Kansas City Chiefs. This didn't feel like a team that is, you know, a 500 team since starting the season 0-4. Vaughn was as down as could be. I mean, how many times did he say in this, I'm lost. I don't have words. I don't know what to do. We've tried everything. I mean, boy, if you thought our first segment was down, don't listen to Von Miller, because he'll put you in the dumps for a week.
What was that? I don't understand. He said that it defeats his soul. He said he has no words. He said, I'm lost.
Yeah.
Not like I'm lost for words. Like, I'm lost personally. It was weird. I guess the one thing, I told you this after the press conference, the one thing that was encouraging to me is he didn't say anything like, I'm at a point in my career where I need to go somewhere and win. He didn't insinuate that he wants to leave Denver. But what do you take away from this? Like I said, I thought that this was just going to be one of those ones where they just came out and they said, like, eh, you know what happens. We didn't have our best today. We went out there and lost. This was almost like, it was like they had the game of the year, their game of the year, and then they still came up short. Like, they played like crap and lost. It's not like they did everything right. They had the perfect game plan, all this and that, and lost. They went into a hostile environment in the snow. They had a poor game plan. They executed it poorly and lost. Why was he so emotional?
This is what it felt like to me. Was Vaughn saying, we need a total rebuild? Now, I don't think that's what Vaughn believes. I don't think that's what he was saying, but or what he meant, but that's what it felt like. He said, we have nothing outside of a quarterback and a good receiver. Outside of that, everyone needs to play better. Everyone needs to be upgraded. Everything needs to be evaluated. That's kind of the feeling I got. And that's so bizarre. It is so bizarre.
I said mid press conference to you, he said something like, we just lose and lose, or something along those lines. And I was like, Zach, they've won two out of their last three. Or he's like, I just want to win. I just want one win. Like, and I was like, Vaughn, you've won two out of your last three. I don't know. This whole year, it seems like every loss, he's gotten more and more emotional, more and more defeated by each one. And I don't understand what's going on.
He said, we've tried everything. We've tried everything, and to me, that kind of meant, you know, getting Joe Flacco, getting Case Keenum, all of the quarterback solutions. They've tried all of those. But then he said, on and off the field, we've tried team bonding. We've tried doing this. We've tried doing that, and we can't do anything. So to me, I mean, what Von Miller was saying, if I didn't know that they didn't have Drew Locke, Ryan, this would kind of make sense. You know, if they didn't have these past three games with Drew Locke and there wasn't hope and they were going with Brandon Allen, or Drew Locke came in and it was absolute garbage, then I would totally understand what Von Miller's saying. I would be on the same page with him. But it's not that. It just felt like it. I guess not fully came out of left field, but there was kind of, you know, this was a bloop in left field because, yeah, it was a bad game, but boy, this is the face of your franchise too, by the way, saying all of this.
I came away thinking, like, maybe Vaughn has a really hard, maybe once you're right in the middle of it, it's really hard to understand that you just don't have good enough players, you know? Like, when you think, like, if we just practice better, and if we put in a little bit of extra time, and if I watch a little bit of extra film, we can win, and then you go out there and you just lose like this, and I just wonder if it's hard for someone who's right there in the middle of it to truly understand that the problem is you just don't have enough good players.
So I have a question. I know you touched on it earlier, but he did say, you know, I'm 30, and I want to win. Do you think this is Vaughn kind of realizing maybe this is the game he realized? Maybe this isn't the place for me for the rest of my career? Because he, like you said, and it was very important to point that out, he did not say, I don't want to be on this team. And he didn't say that. But do you think he kind of realized that? And that was this frustration coming out right now? Like, I'm 30. This team has some pieces, but it's pieces. We're still far away. I'm 30. I want to be on a team that wins right now and next year. Do you think there was any realization of that?
What would this... I don't understand what this game would have done to spur that.
It would be realizing what a potential championship team looks like and that the Broncos are, you know, 20 points away from that.
And I guess Vaughn, who from Monday to Saturday is a very optimistic person, believed that they still had a chance of making the playoffs.
Right.
And so... the reality setting in that they have no chance now is when he's thinking like, man, what another waste.
Right.
I think that's the hard thing is the prime of his career has come and gone.
Yep.
4 years from 26 to 30, Zach, those are the best years for a football player.
Yeah.
I think he realizes that his prime has come and gone and he didn't get to use it.
Statistically or winning.
Right. Right. Because the other truth is that his position is very, very reliant. It relies on the offense. It relies on the rest of the defense. It is a very reliant position. I know fans want this to happen. He can't just wake up and say, I'm going to take over the game today. It just doesn't work that way for his position. So I think he's now realizing that he got this big contract, and obviously he got that Super Bowl, and that was the beginning of his prime. He aced the first year of his prime. Yep. And the rest of it has just been a big old waste, and he's never gonna be able to get those years back. He's never gonna be able to get those sacks that would have been out there if he was on a good team back. And I think he's just like, man, next year I'm gonna be 31, and it doesn't look like we're ready to just immediately turn this thing around. And so maybe by the time we're good again, I'm going to be 32. I don't know. I think I don't know if that's just a this week realization, but I'm sure that is difficult.
Now it's defeating his soul.
And he plays best in the biggest games, as evidenced by the fact that he played the best game of his career in the Super Bowl, or arguably the best game of his career. He hasn't even had a chance. Has not had a chance. I think there was like one big game since then, which was that game against the Chiefs that they honestly should have won at home in 2016. That would have helped them. It would have almost been impossible for them to miss the playoffs if they won that game. Since then, like, he hasn't really got to play in a big, big game.
Is he so defeated because he realizes that's the exact situation he wants? That's the Peyton Manning. That's the Broncos offense, where you get the lead, then teams have to pass, so you're rushing so you get to rush the quarterback with your ears pinned back, and on top of that, you get to win all the time. And now he's looking at the Chiefs and saying, maybe that's the big picture, is if I stay in Denver, I have to go up against this for the rest of my life.
Could be. I don't know. But I do not get the feeling that he wants to leave. I don't. And just, I guess, to put a bow on this conversation, I'll ask you this. What about the other side? Is there any conversation that should be had this offseason of the Broncos considering not exercising the player option, there still would be a ton of dead money, I believe. But they do have an out on his contract this year. Is there any conversation that's going to happen internally of it's time to move on?
No. I don't think, and I'm very comfortable answering that very fast, because I don't think that John Elway is going to consider that for 1 minute. John's not going to let Von Miller walk out that door.
I don't either, and there's a bunch of reasons why. It starts with what we talked about earlier last week, which is that the second that John Elway can sniff it, second that he thinks, ooh, we're close, he's going all in. And that might mean overpaying Chris Harris Jr. And so all the people that are just like piling on Chris right now, because I can sense this from Broncos fans, they think he's not even a Bronco anymore. Mm-hmm. So they just love jumping all over his back. I wouldn't be so sure. And then Von Miller, he's not going to get rid of him because why did he draft Bradley Chubb? To have Von Miller and Bradley Chubb.
Yep.
And honestly, next year might be the year where Von isn't quite out of his prime and Bradley's just entering his prime, the year that they're most set up to succeed together. So those two things. And then here's the last one that really really ties it off for me. The Broncos don't need any help in the cap room area. Mm-hmm. They're able to have upwards of $85 million in cap space without even touching Von Miller. Yep. So all of those reasons tell me Von's going to be a Bronco next year, and that's that.
Who was Von talking to in this? Was it John? Was it his teammates? Was it himself? Was he just talking? Who was the message to? Because this wasn't one comment. He doubled, tripled, quadrupled, five times down on it.
Just don't think he had very many answers. He didn't know what to say. I mean, it's kind of what we were talking about during the game. We're like, man, if it continues like this, there's just not much to say about this game. And I think that's kind of how Von felt. He's just sad. And so that's all he had to say. And so that's why he kept double, triple, quadrupling down, because every question his answer was just like, I don't know. I always try, you know? So I don't think he was directing it at anyone. Do you?
I don't think so either. But if he was, it was at his teammates. The teammates on the team right now, because, and I guess maybe John Elway for not hitting, because he says we've tried everything. Well, if you've tried everything and you haven't hit, or maybe you've only hit on one in terms of Drew Lock, in terms of the quarterback position, then it's on John. But yeah, I don't think it was an intended message to anyone. But boy, it's interesting. And you wonder if Von right now, because a few weeks ago when they lost to the Minnesota Vikings, instead of going their own separate ways, Von knew there was still a lot of time in the season left. He brought everyone together. When the flight landed that Sunday night, he brought everyone to Del Frisco's. Well, this didn't necessarily give me the feeling that Von was going to have everyone over for a steak dinner tonight or take everyone out for a steak dinner tonight. It gave me the feeling that maybe the team will go their separate ways in these last 2 weeks, because now the writing is in ink. They cannot make the playoffs. They are a losing football team. Hey, there's only 2 weeks left. Get through this week, then it's Christmas, then it's New Year's, and the season's over.
Sorry, I'm mesmerized because my Cardinals are taking on your Browns, and Kyler Murray just threw an absolute dime to put the Cardinals up two scores.
Hey, you know, my Browns are 1-0 against your teams this year, so I'm confident the Browns are coming back.
Who's that, the Bills? The
Bills, yep.
Okay. Before we move along, shout out to Breckenridge Brewery. Wins, losses, ties. Breckenridge Brewery is the best way to celebrate, drown your sorrows, or I guess understand the confusion that is a tie. Whether it's snowing like it is in KC, whether it's a nice, almost fall-like atmosphere as it is here in Colorado, there's always a beer for you. And for me, no matter the weather, it's the Strawberry Sky. I love it so dearly. It is a perfect beer, in my opinion, because it has the flavor that you look for, so it's not too harsh, but also the drinkability that you look for, so it doesn't just taste like you're drinking water. It's great. I mean, the warmer the weather, the better it tastes, I think, but it never, no matter how cold it may be, it never tastes bad.
It is freezing cold outside. Give me a Strawberry Sky.
Yep,
without a doubt.
Okay, so zooming out a little bit on Drew Lock, he's now 2-1 which is pretty damn good, with a average performance, a incredible performance, and a below average performance. So I'm gonna say the needle lands a little bit above average just because of how good that second game was.
The stats will say that.
And here's the other thing is that first game, we can't lose sight of it. It was not on Drew Lock. His numbers could have been so, so much better if they unleashed him. And they were just scared to at the time. So I give him a bump for that. Two home games against two decidedly mediocre teams at best. I don't know if the word is need, so I'm not going to use the word need. What do you want to see from Drew Lock in these two? And don't get greedy.
I need to see bounce back. It at least a little bit. Want to see or need?
Want.
Well, what I want to see.
I said don't get greedy, too.
How about this? Here's what I want to see. What he did in the first two games combined. Kind of mix those, because I don't think he's going to have an incredible game like he did 2 weeks ago. But I also think he could really have two good games. Why not 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions? How's that sound?
Over 2 games?
Yep.
Yeah, that works.
That'd be really good. And I feel like that's not getting too greedy. It's a little close to there, though. But, Ryan, if he does that, Broncos win both games, because they will if your quarterback goes 5-2, unless he goes 0-2 and then 5-0. But especially against these two teams, he's going to win both. Then you know what? This was a snowy game and slush where the offensive line played awful. And still, I maintain Drew Lock today, I thought he was fine. Not great, not good. I don't think he was awful. Now, the stat line, yeah, it was bad. It was not good. 45% completion is never, ever good. But if he does that, then this is a blip on the radar.
I'll bet you that his, what do they call it, adjusted completion percentage is significantly higher. That takes out batted balls and drops.
Probably in the 60s.
And I think that – I honestly think you could add 7 completions to his number on that, which would get him to 25 of 40.
25 of 40, and we're looking at 62.5% yeah. Right there.
So, again, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't great. It wasn't good. It was just okay. It was meh. I'm going to call it meh. Which is a little below okay.
And if that's your worst, if that's the worst game he has this year, Ryan, you're feeling good.
You feel fine.
Oh, you're feeling great.
And that's what I want Drew to do. This is what I want from Drew. I want Drew to give us even more of a reason to write that game off. I want him to give us a reason to say, come on. It was in the snow in Kansas City, and they trailed the entire game. I want him to give us that reason. So that's essentially, I think, along the same lines as you. But they're going to come here next week against the Lions, against David Blau. They should absolutely destroy that line or that offense. And honestly, what I want is the Broncos to blow them out, because they should. They blew out the Texans on the road. They should beat that team by multiple scores. At least 14 points is what I want.
They just got beat at home by 21 points
right.
To Tampa Bay.
Okay, exactly. And Drew Lock, give me 60% plus, give me a positive touchdown to interception.
Boom.
And then I turn around and I say, you guys are silly for trying to make anything out of that Kansas City game.
Do you think people are hopping off the Drew Lock bandwagon?
Here and there. Here's the thing is...
Shameful.
This is what people... I mean, I talked about this throughout the week. People who didn't like Drew Lock in the draft tried to look at that performance against Houston and completely pick apart every single thing that went wrong for him. And, oh, well, he can't be making these throws off his back foot and this and that. And so then those people who are looking for anything to be wrong with Drew Lock are now saying, see... Came right back down to earth just as I predicted. And anyone who watched the game and has half a brain knows that's not what happened. But it will be out there. And you're going to see someone trying to do like a play-by-play breakdown and tell you all the bad throws. And he should have had a pick 6 on the goal line, which is true. But give me a break. Give me a break if you're trying to dissect that performance. It was supposed to have. It was expected to happen. The reality of the situation is it's probably supposed to happen, and it happened.
It did. It did happen, and that's going to happen. Now we get to see how he bounces back. We get to see how he bounces back. So, Ryan, what do you need to see from Drew Lock?
Average. I need to see average. If he goes, remember, this is the Lions. They are not good. If he goes and somehow looks similar in this next game to what he did in that game and all the snow, then I'm gonna start worrying. And I will go ahead and dissect every throw of that game. But if he's just average, if he's, you know, 58 or 57% completions and he's 2-2 and the Broncos win or it's a close game or whatever, then I can push the chips down and kick the can one more game down the road and say, okay, now I need to see, just finish on a high note, Drew, and then we're not going to have too many questions about you.
It's emotional right after a game. I'm sure Von Miller got tripped up in the emotions after the game with what he said too, but I'm going to go back to what I said last week to not be emotional about this game. We said he can come back to earth. He can have one bad game over this five-game stretch. He could probably even have two bad games. What we said he couldn't do is have three bad games to end the season, because then you do look at that second game and you do think, oh boy, that was, what was that? Was that just luck? And then you look at that first quarter that he had in his very first start and you say, oh boy, he probably just, they didn't have any tape on him, so he was able to get out to a hot start. But if he just doesn't go out and have three bad games in a row, then he's fine. Then he's fine. Then he's the Broncos quarterback next year. If he stinks it up in his next two, oh boy, the conversation's going to change big time. But for me, he can even have one more bad game. Now, you wouldn't feel great about it. I'm not saying he should, but because then you would have a divided fan base. But he still could, because then as a rookie, he had three good games, two bad games. You're fine with that, especially, you know, with 9 or 10 practices before his first game ever. So you would be fine with that. And I think Drew Lock is at least going to do that.
Here's the fact of it is you just hope, I hope there's no bad weather, because that's the only thing that could derail this. Watching that Lions secondary today, I predict that Drew Lock is going to carve them to pieces.
Yes.
And so that's the good news, because it'd be kind of a bummer if Drew Lock had to finish against like KC, Minnesota, and Buffalo, which were all teams that were on the schedule this year. Like, then there actually would have been a chance he finishes pretty poorly. He now gets an easy, pretty easy game against the Lions and a average NFL game against the Raiders to finish the season.
Okay, so if I told you, if I set the line for yards for Drew Lock next week at 303, what would you take, the over or the under?
As I sit here right now, I would take the over.
I would too. Now, if I set, I don't like setting this line, but there's a reason for me doing it. If I set touchdowns at 3, would you take the over or the under?
I would take the under, just because I think it's rare for quarterbacks to throw 3 touchdown games in this offense.
Well, that's fair, but here's what the Detroit Lions gave up to Jameis Winston today. They gave up 303 passing yards and 3 touchdowns in the first half at home. So an opposing quarterback came into their house and did that in the first half. Ryan, now the Lions defense has to come into Mile High, where they don't get the advantages of crowd noise, and they get to go against Drew Lock on the road. So it's, I agree that I think Drew will probably be at 3 touchdowns next week, not over, but it's not crazy to say that he could get to 4 touchdowns, and this could actually be a better statistical game than he had last week against the Texans. He could have 300 yards and 4 touchdowns easy.
It's too bad the Broncos don't employ the Bruce Arians, Todd Monken spread offense. That'd be cool.
It is a shame.
Just dialed up the old 7-day forecast. 55 and sunny.
Oh, that's a recipe for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns.
So I hope that if you were for some reason creeping towards the ledge, that you heard this podcast and backed far, far away from it. There is no reason to even drive to the cliff. Stay at home. Have some hot chocolate. Maybe a Breck brew on the side.
Yep.
Don't even go to the ledge.
No.
There's no reason to be there. There's two more games, and this is exactly why we said you needed the five-game sample size. How much of a bummer would it have been if this was the last game of the season? If Drew Lock had an okay game, a fantastic game, and then a bad game. I'll call it a bad game just for the sake of argument. That would have been a bummer.
It would be the worst. No clarity.
Yes. There would have been no clarity. The great news here is that Drew Lock now gets two more chances to show you why. Come on. This was a joke.
December in Kansas City. Who can win December in Kansas City?
With a foot of snow on the ground and a deficit for the entire game.
Yeah. This game was a killer game. And the Broncos didn't live up to it. They didn't even come close. But to me, it wasn't on Drew Lock.
I just hope that they play inspired again. I hope this didn't completely take the wind out of their sails for next week.
And that they just all part their own ways, knowing they're done with the playoffs, are going to be a losing team. What does it matter to them if they're 7-9 or 5-11?
Right. Cortland's got his 1,000 yards.
Yep.
So I hope they're able to continue to rally around finishing strong. They should. Remember when they played the Jets late in that one season, they shut them out?
Yep.
This should have a similar feel to that, where they look at this team and say, we should beat the brakes off this team. Let's go do it.
Yep.
And then whatever happens in week 16, or 17, who knows? But this should be a game where they look at it on the schedule and say, we should rock these guys.
Ryan, I'll leave you with this, or I'll ask you this question to end. Is this the last season that the Broncos will have a losing record in this consecutive streak?
Yes. Yeah, that ends next year.
How comfortable are you with that?
Pretty comfortable. Pretty comfortable.
So Broncos fans, you're through it. Just two more games is what Ryan's telling you. And I agree. I think this, because look, they were 0-4 to start this season. Bad. They're 5-5 right now. And Vic Fangio's still putting his stamp on here. They haven't got their quarterback comfortable yet, and yet they're 5-5. So I expect another uphill tick. Whether that's 9-7, I feel very comfortable that it's going to be at least 9-7, just with what we know about the team right now. But double-digit wins, even after losing by 20 points to the Chiefs, I think it's still very much in play.
I do, too. A lot has to happen. Some things have to fall in place. It's stupid to make predictions this far ahead because, who knows, maybe they strike out on all of their free agents and they have a poor draft. But as long as things trend the way that we think they're going to trend, they're able to fortify the offensive line a little bit. They're able to add another weapon for Drew Lock. I think this team is done with their losing seasons. Remember what we used to always say when the old Von Miller for Andrew Luck conversation came up, which was that teams with franchise quarterbacks don't have seasons this bad. Now, this year in the NFL is a weird one. A bunch of teams with good quarterbacks are having really bad seasons. I look at the Falcons, and even though Matt Ryan isn't anything special, they're 4-9. Like, that's not supposed to happen when you have a solid quarterback. The Browns, while they're climbing back, they shouldn't be this bad. The Jets, some things went wrong for them. They shouldn't be, their record shouldn't be this bad. So this year is kind of actually making me come back off that take a little bit. But the truth is, once you get your guy, you should be able to catch a wave. You should be able to get better players in here. You should be able to build around him, and you should stop losing.
Yep, exactly. Now they're at that brink. Now, do they go and lose themselves like Von Miller was talking about today? Or is Von not talking about that at this time next year? Is he talking about, we're trying for the AFC West at this point because the Chiefs locked the division up 3 weeks before it was over? That's wild.
Here's one thing that I guess concerns me. Nothing matters anymore. Is Vaughn going to go to IR? Is Noah Fant going to go to IR? Are they going to start, chopping this thing down because the wins and losses don't matter anymore?
Yeah.
And
they started doing it last week. Now they have no shot at playoffs.
Right. And I don't mean that in a bad way for the team. In fact, I would advocate that's probably the right thing to do. But it could end up skewing how good or bad Drew Lock looks if his second best weapon right now is Noah Fant.
Yep.
The rookie tight end, who, as we know, rookie tight ends take a while.
Yep.
So, something to keep in mind.
And Juwan James, boy, I didn't really think I was ever going to... They need him. They need him to play.
They do.
And he won't play. He doesn't want to play. His knee just hurts him. So, you know, injuries are tough to say go out and play with that, but we've talked about just the weird dynamics going on there. But come on, Elijah Wilkinson, he got his hand on the defensive player's back, and that was all he did on the route to Drew just getting pummeled. He has a false start that just throws off a third down. It's bad.
And that actually leads me to one last thing that really impressed me with Drew Lock today. My guy got walloped over and over and over and over again. I didn't even see him grimace once.
Yeah.
Just got up kind of mad, frustrated at points. But never once was he like, or like limping off or anything like that. He, you know, got the snow off his ass and jogged off the field or jogged back to the huddle. He was tough today. He looked tough.
Yeah, I am upset that he got help getting up, though. Just ridiculous.
Wow. You're going to make me finish all mad, aren't you? That was one of the worst takes I've ever heard in my life. One of the worst takes I've ever heard.
And if you're watching the broadcast, you know exactly what we're talking about. Drew was getting killed for getting help up after being just pummeled.
Dan Fouts said, yeah, nice gesture from the ref to try and help him up there, but that's a bad look. And I thought he was talking about the ref.
Oh, right.
At first, like, saying, like, the ref shouldn't be helping One Tide's players because that's, like, it makes it look like he's biased or something.
Yeah.
No, he was saying Drew Lock should turn down the hand from the ref and get up on his own. Why?
It was so stupid.
Because it somehow makes him look less tough that he took a hand?
I was more lost listening to that than I was listening to Vaughn.
Unbelievable. That's truly one of the worst takes I've ever heard on a broadcast. Drew Lock should be turning down the hand from the ref. What can you do?
Offensive lineman should be picking Drew Lock up.
That's actually true. It shouldn't be the ref's responsibility to help up Drew. Garrett Bowles or Elijah Wilkinson, or whoever's fault it was that he was on his back, should be the one helping him up.
They've got to protect him over these next 2 weeks.
I actually was at a point with like 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter that I just wanted to be like, get him out of there.
Yeah.
The dude's getting killed on every throw.
Yeah. Sorry, Brandon Allen, but you're not as valuable.
You got to go in there. I mean, it was crazy. The Broncos honestly should have been running the ball. It was like they were sending 7-6 on every play because what the Broncos were telegraphing their offense. Just throw it, throw it, throw it, throw it.
40 dropbacks, 15 rushing attempts.
Yeah. And
actually,
again, Philip Lindsay averaged 4.6 yards per carry. They couldn't go to it because what? They were down, I guess, 9-0 right away.
Yeah.
It was just uphill battle the rest of the game.
When you're going up against Patrick Mahomes.
Well, it'll be an interesting week. It's going to feel like a year between now and Sunday because we have to sit on this weird, floppy performance.
Mm-hmm.
But throw it away. Wipe your hands. Take the tape. Delete the DVR. Whatever you got to do, throw it away. It was a fluke. Not a fluke, but it was just – it's not a game that you can evaluate on. And it's another reason why we said you need a big sample size because games like this happen and it's not a fair evaluation.
Freak out if this happens next week. The panic button is in full mode, not just for this year, obviously, but for the future. That would be very bad to see. Right now, Ryan, you're right. Just calm down, as Aaron Rodgers would say. R-E-L-A-S.
Relax. All right, I think that's going to do it for us today on the DNVR Broncos podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Stay away from that ledge, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Embarrassing waste of hours, we
If you live in the South Metro area and have been looking for top-notch customer service, extensive beer, wine, and spirit selections, and unbeatable prices, look no further than Davidson's Beer, Wine, and Spirits. You won't find a more varied inventory anywhere else. Don't just take it from me, guys. This is Michael, and he's been shopping at Davidson's since they opened.
The thing I like about Davidson's versus the competitors, it has a larger selection. And if I am going to buy spirit, then Davidson's is usually my first choice as well, because just of the size of the selection. I also like the extensive selection of some hard-to-find items.
But that's not all. Every department is staffed with highly trained specialists who can help you find exactly what you're looking for.
But I've always found the folks that you chat with to be knowledgeable. I've chatted with the spirits staff about different bourbons and different vodkas, and I am always chatting with the wine staff about different things and saying, I like this. What else do you have that's similar? Particularly when I go to non-U.S. Wines, I find them extremely helpful in helping me find something I'm looking for.
What are you waiting for? Head to either of their locations in Centennial or Highlands Ranch and follow them on Facebook to stay up to date on their latest specials.